Charting Toward Intimacy covers mature topics. Listener discretion is advised. NFP feels so incredibly unfair, and sometimes it feels downright impossible. Maybe you're on week 6 of abstinence. Maybe you only have a few usable days per month. Does God really call us to NFP in these situations? Welcome to Charting Toward Intimacy, the sex and intimacy podcast for Catholic women. My name is Ellen Holloway, and I am a Catholic speaker and coach who specializes in sex and marital intimacy. And I am on a mission to help you actually enjoy and desire good, holy sex with your spouse. Today, we are going to be talking about the question of, is NFP really unfair? Especially to couples in situations where they have an extremely limited window of usable days or long periods of abstinence. Here's the thing, is when we understand what suffering really is, and we understand how Jesus is able to use suffering and what seem like impossible and unfair situations, and how he is able to transform us through those, only then are we able to take one step closer to Christ and to heaven. And I have Kathleen Chavanis with us today, who is an FEM instructor and my wonderful semi-regular co-host. All right. We're going to be responding to a statement that I see come up every once in a while, and I'll get emails about it, or sometimes I'll have coaching clients that are in this situation, or I'll see something posted on Instagram about it, that NFP is just totally unfair for a certain situation where a couple has to avoid pregnancy at all costs. There is no, like, maybe there is a truly dire financial situation, a medical reason that avoiding pregnancy is absolutely necessary, or just some other just absolutely hands down have to avoid pregnancy at all costs reason, and the couple is being as conservative as possible. And because of that conservative nature of their charting, and maybe because of difficulties in observations, maybe a longer time until ovulation or a shorter luteal phase or something, because of that, there's only maybe a few days a month that are usable. And I see this, like, of this statement, well, I don't believe that God would want us to be apart for this long. I don't believe that God would put us in this situation. Like, that's, it's not fair. I don't believe that God would do something so terrible to us, would make it so hard for us. And therefore, you know, therefore the only thing that's going to keep our marriage going is, you know, mutual masturbation and blowjobs or contraception or a vasectomy or permanent sterilization of the woman. And I'm just gonna, before we just like really dive into this, that is absolute crap, and stop listening to the devil right now. End of episode.
Stop it.
Just no, I'm
stop.
Just kidding.
Just stop it. Stop it.
All right. Yeah. This is what the devil does. He'll take something and he'll twist it. He'll say, step off of that cross, because God would never want to put you up there. Right?
Yeah.
That's what he was trying to do to Jesus. He said, don't die. Don't die for the sins of all the people. That's, you have the power to get yourself off the cross. Get yourself off the cross, Jesus. But no, he stayed on the cross, and he endured the absolute worst physical pain and mental, probably. I mean, there was a lot going on there. Like, possible for a human. And so for us to believe that because simply because something is really, really hard, and I'm not trying to discount that this situation isn't hard, because this is very hard.
Yeah.
Like, and I honestly, I can't imagine being in a situation quite this dire. I've had seasons of my life where we've definitely needed to avoid for one reason or another, but it hasn't been a life-threatening reason or just like very, very dire financial or whatever your reason. And we are in no way judging anyone's reason for avoiding pregnancy. If this is your situation, then this is your situation. But simply because it feels impossible does not mean that, like, God doesn't actually want you to go through it.
Right.
That is absolute crap.
Yeah, no. And I think that when we are, and I have a really good friend who, well, two really good friends, they're married, who are in this exact situation where for medical reasons, it is very important that they not get pregnant again. And there is, there's a weight to that and there is a struggle to that. But I think that what you said, Ellen, is so important that, and like really good, like I never really thought of it this way, that the devil said, take yourself off the cross. You have the power. You can do this. Like, why would God want this? You know, like that can serve as such a comfort, right? That like our own Lord was tempted in that way. And just like such an affirmation that like, wow, like we are doing this, the right thing for right now, you know, like being kind of tempted in the same way that our Lord was. And I think that's like something so important to remember about sacrifice, that the Lord has called us to that and for us to sacrifice because he sacrificed first, and that we can trust that when we are in those times of just having to, like, painful sacrifice, that we can know that the Lord is with us in it, and that we are being drawn to the foot of the cross, that we are being drawn closer to him through that sacrifice. And I agree with you. Like, I have never been in that really dire situation, and it is hard to really imagine it, and also hard to imagine just, like, the weight that it must take on your... the toll that it must take on your marriage, that it can take on your marriage, you know? But I think that just being able to focus on the fact that marriage is a call, that marriage is a vocation, not a vacation, right? That like,
I love that.
I know it is like, as a culture, we're just like, oh, it's happily ever after. And we like look at these weddings and it's like, oh,
I saw this phenomenal cartoon. It was Prince Charming and Cinderella, and they were sitting in a therapist's office, and like Prince Charming was kind of like had his hand on his head.
Yeah.
And Cinderella is just like in tears looking at the therapist going, happily ever after is very stressful.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like, but like, think about it. Like, think about it, that every like fairy tale we watch growing up, right? Like, the hardships are overcome and then it ends in the happily ever after, right? Like that's the finality. Like that's the end of it, right? It's just like, okay, the hardship is done and now we can finally be happy. Like, it's just like so false. It's such a false representation of the reality of marriage, which is that like, it is a celebration to join these two lives together, but it is also done within a mass because we need a lot of prayer for this. Right? Like, this is like a hard thing that we're taking on.
What, you know, what's happening in the mass is the ultimate sacrifice, right? And we're putting marriage right there within the context of the ultimate sacrifice. Like, if that doesn't tell us something about what marriage ultimately is, then I don't know what is, right? Like, that's why the sacrament of marriage happens within the context of a mass, except in very specific circumstances. Yeah. But like, it's supposed to happen within the context of the ultimate sacrifice to alert us to the fact that this, you know, marriage is going to be a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Like, sharing life with another fallen human is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And I think we might be tangenting off just a little bit from the topic, but like, marriage is a whole sacrifice. Yeah. But then also, things will happen to us in marriage that require us to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And we have to see that as an ultimate good.
Yeah. I think that it's really almost, it's so hard. And I think that like, it's just it's in our nature to sort of avoid suffering and avoid, not sort of, it is absolutely within human nature to avoid suffering, to avoid hardship, to avoid sacrifice, right? But as a Christian, like within the Christian life, like what a comfort it can be at the same time to recognize I'm in a really hard place, right? Because we, I mean, as we said before, like we have that comfort of knowing, like, no, like there is redemption in hardship. There is redemption in sacrifice and in suffering, right? Where it's almost like, man, your life is just like easy peasy. Like if life is that easy spiritually, like you ought to feel concerned. Like it's just like, sure. I am not suffering enough. You know what I mean? Like, and I know I get that way sometimes where it's just like things seem to be going like really, really well. And you know, like it is a gift, right? Like they're like, but I think seasons are really important to recognize. Like it's good to have seasons of just like levity, but then it's also good to have seasons of hardship, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that's also really important to this topic that it's almost guaranteed that whenever anyone going through this, it is just a season. And maybe it's a long season, right? Like right. it doesn't mean that it's
be happening for the rest of your life.
It cannot be because menopause happens, right? Like menopause is a reality too. We know that, right? But I mean, and truthfully though, like it is a season, and that's not to say, that's not to diminish how hard it is, right? Mm-hmm. That's not to take away from the suffering that's happening, but it is to provide hope that this is really hard, but this isn't going to be forever. I don't know how long it's going to be. Maybe it is going to be a really long time, right? But it isn't going to be forever.
You know, I think I want to touch on sacrifice here in a slightly different capacity than what we've been talking about, because there's an element to this. So one of the things we do in the Christian life is we put sacrifices in our life, right? Like we're recording this right before Lent is going to start. Mm-hmm. And, you know, during Lent, this is a very specific time that we choose a sacrifice to put in our life. And we do that to remind us, you know, how important God's sacrifice was for us, Jesus on the cross, and to remind us, you know, that we can do nothing without God. And I have meditated on this aspect of you know, these choosing these sacrifices to put in your life, because there are seasons of life where you don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. There are seasons of life where you don't need to choose an additional thing to do for Lent. I've had seasons, I've had Lents where like my spiritual director has told me to stop what I chose to do for Lent.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I had other sacrifices that had been placed in my life that I hadn't chosen that were doing the work, right? That were helping me point to God. And so I think that's something to remember too, is like when you are in one of these seasons of really particular sacrifice, is that like you don't have to make your life harder. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, like,
yeah,
but you need to use that sacrifice to help you grow holier. Like you can't just say this is really hard and just continue to complain about it. You need to dig into the sacrifice and allow it to sanctify you.
Yeah.
Okay. So why are we talking about suffering? And the whole point of this was, you know, NFP is unfair, right? Suffering is a part of life. Mm-hmm. Suffering is part of the Christian journey, that we need to embrace suffering. In this particular situation, that suffering is going to be very tied to the cardinal virtues of prudence and temperance and fortitude, actually. Yeah, those three. I mean, not justice a little bit, but like God's got the justice part. Yeah. So, but prudence, temperance, and fortitude are going to be vitally necessary. And I'm going to read from the Catechism here, 1806. This is on prudence. Prudence is right reason in action, writes St. Thomas Aquinas, following Aristotle. It is not to be confused with timidity or fear. It is prudence that immediately guides the judgment of conscience. The prudent man determines and directs his conduct in accordance with this judgment. With the help of this virtue, we apply moral principles to particular cases without error and overcome doubts about the good to achieve and the evil to avoid. I love this quote on prudence because that's ultimately what's going on here is, or the opposite is what's going on here,
right,
is that if you've said this before, of NFP is unfair, we have to avoid at all costs, and it's really, really hard, and God couldn't possibly want us to be apart for this long. He couldn't possibly put that on us. We're not using prudence in this case to apply moral principles to this particular case without error. Right now, we're twisting it into, God wants me to step off the cross. I don't need to have this sacrifice in my life. And so I just love like that end of just, with the help of this virtue, with the help of prudence, we can apply moral principles to particular cases without error. We can overcome the doubts about what's actually good here and what's actually evil. Because right now in this situation, we're doubting what is actually good here.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying, yeah, look, contraception is the only option that's going to save our marriage. It's going to keep us together. It's too hard to not have sex with each other. And so therefore, like, God, because it's too hard, God just wouldn't want this for us.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not true. It is too hard. It is too hard for you to do as a human mm-hmm. being. You do not have the strength to do it. I can guarantee that. So if it feels like it's too hard, that's because it is too hard. And what do you need to do? You have to lean on God. Mm-hmm. God's grace is the only thing that is going to get you through this.
Yeah.
There's another quote in the Catechism. I don't have the exact number of it, but it's also it's about temperance, and it talks about how the path to learning temperance, it's riddled with mistakes and sins, and we know that. But simply because we know that we are fallen humans and we're going to make mistakes does not mean that we can just go ahead and just opt in to sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just because we know that we're going to fall. That is not the Christian journey. The Christian journey is eyes on the prize.
Amen.
And the prize is the cross.
Yeah.
Right? The bride has to follow the bridegroom. The bride goes the way of the bridegroom. Christ is the bridegroom. How did he get to heaven? He got to heaven through the cross. How are we going to get to heaven? Same way, through the cross.
Amen.
We have to suffer.
I think that's a mic drop.
Are we done?
Honestly, yeah. The only thing I wanted to say is just heroic virtue is like what is required. Like it's heroic virtue, and we cannot obtain heroic virtue on our own. It has to happen through Christ. And just, yeah, everything you just said, just beautiful. I think that this is these situations, like the gravity of these situations, is also a really good way to keep us in check. Like, is our situation actually this dire to avoid? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because that's ultimately, if you only have a couple days a month, that's going to help you determine how important is it really, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because another key piece to marriage is trust, and trust in your spouse, but then also trusting God, right? That, Lord, you designed us in this way to come together in this way, to desire that together. Like, just your will be done, you know, at the end of the day. And I'll say, like, with our first, like, four kids, there was like a phrase that somebody said to me very early on, that every baby comes with a loaf of bread under its arm.
Oh, yeah.
Just that,
yeah.
Like, yeah. That just like God finds a way to provide, even when
truly,
you think you can't do it.
The craziest things have happened.
The craziest thing. I mean,
the day after
yes.
a baby is born.
Yes.
It's just like insane.
I'm telling you, with With the first four babies, my husband had gotten like a way better job between our second and our fourth. The rate at which he like flew up the career ladder was like unbelievable. Like, he's in his mid-30s and just like in the dream career right now. It's like, it was like unbelievable. And it happened between babies two and four. Like, it was just like, he just flew up because St. Joseph was just interceding for him like crazy, you know? And, but that's like the point, you know, just that like God has continued, even when it was just like, we cannot afford another one right now. Like, I don't know how we're going to do this. Like, and also with the generosity of others, you know, like never underestimate the generosity that other people, the way that God can use other people to shower you with love through their own generosity. Like, he does those things, and it is our job to trust in him that if he is going to allow another child, that there is so much trust to be placed in him for his providence. All right, but that doesn't really apply to anybody who has very serious medical reasons to be in this situation, right? And so I think it's like anybody in that situation could be listening to this podcast just like, I don't need your answers. This sucks, and I don't need to hear about it anymore. Like, you really don't get it. You really don't understand. And I just want to say, like, I hear you. I hear you there. And for anybody that may have listened to this, just, like, rolling their eyes and just sort of, like, being made angry by what we have to say, like, I just want to sit with you in the suck. That's what I want to do. I don't want to give you answers. I don't want to preach to you, because you're living it out. You are living it in a very radical way, and I just want to honor you and your sacrifice. And I'm honestly getting emotional because I have friends there that it's like, you are doing it, and it's so hard, and you're an incredible person. You're an incredible couple. You are living it out radically in a way that neither of us have, and just all my love and respect. And yeah, let me just like sit there with you for a minute and how much it must suck.
Thanks so much for listening. If you are not already following us on Instagram, be sure to check us out at Charting Toward Intimacy. And if you listen to podcasts on a platform that gives you the option to rate or review, we'd love for you to do that because it helps us spread the word about the podcast. If you ever have questions, comments, or episode topic ideas, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you. You can reach out on Instagram or send us an email. Our email is in the show notes. Until next time.